Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not promised. And that's a fact. Tomorrow is not promised. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm not worried, amen, about my wife's diagnosis on Wednesday. But there's always a possibility. And she came to me yesterday in the room and said, you know, I thank God I've been loved as well as I have for the time I've been here. Just never know tomorrow what it may bring. That's why we need to live for today. Jesus said there's enough evil and stuff going on in today. Don't even worry about tomorrow. Amen. You can barely handle today. Amen. Just stay locked in. And as she says, share. Share the gospel. Share what the Lord has done for you with others. Yes. When we're under trial and when we're under fire, the Lord still expects us to talk to others and to share with others. Yeah. And the classic one of that is when Jesus had just received the news that his cousin had been murdered. His cousin, John the Baptizer, cousin of Jesus, he had been brutally beheaded by a wicked ruler. And which means he was in maybe late 20s, around 30, 29, 30, very young. Jesus hears that his cousin has been brutally, unjustly murdered. And he was on his way, as I understand it, to go out and kind of be by himself. But there were, I think that's when the 4,000 were fed. He had to minister. He had to obey God. And you know, we may think, well, that's kind of unfair. God, let the guy go on and just be by himself. And get through this. But you know, one of the best ways to deal with a hard situation and grief and anguish and anxiety is to help other people, because it gets your mind off of you.
Amen.
And you're doing the will of God when you do so. And he went down and ministered to those thousands of people. She could have shut down Sister Melinda and said, I'm just going to stay home. I don't know what this diagnosis is going to bring. I'm nervous. I'm this and that and the other. But she's talking. She's letting us know. And I love the transparency of what the Lord is walking through her as she's grown. And these Psalms, Sister April, that's why I continue to stay focused and clear, because you did not know any of this. And those Psalms are, every last one of them were right on point. Just perfectly selected by the Holy Ghost. And she'll tell you, she prays over that. It's not something just picking out songs. You're meant to minister to the Lord and to us.
Amen.
Encourage and uplift and honor God, and encourage and uplift us. Perfect. When the weight of the world begins to fall. Because that's what it feels like at times. What are we going to do? On the name of Jesus, I'm going to call. For he has supplied me every need. Even through this, he's going to supply it. But we have to be reminded of that. Because when troubles hit us, we tend to forget. Then we talked about the phrase practical atheist. We believe in God, but we live as though he does not exist. It's all good to kind of believe in him from afar. But when life happens on a daily basis, are we trusting in this God that we say that we believe in?
Amen.
Or do we go on in life as though he does not exist?
Amen.
Thereby being a practical atheist. She's just a regular person like you or I. Like Elijah, who had fears like everyone else. But he prayed. He trusted God. Job was just like us. He had grief. He worshiped God in the middle of grief. We have examples all through Scripture. Yes. How to handle tragedy, how to handle pending news of when you don't know what it's going to be. Remember, faith is in the unanswered questions. I'm going to say that again. Unanswered. You don't know the answer. So therefore, you can't figure anything out because you don't know the answer. Well, you know what? Good. Good. Why do you say that? Because then it stops you trying to figure it out because you don't know the answer. And turn to the one who has it already figured out. Faith. Being fully persuaded. And what God has promised. What does he promise? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. What does he promise? I'm with you always. Mm-hmm. What does he promise? That I've sent my spirit to comfort you, to lead you, to guide you into all truth. That's what he's promised. Are we going to believe it or not? Amen. I begged you all for years and years. Please build your house while there's relative calm in your life. Remember I've said that before? Over and over and over again. That means you're getting the word, you're meditating the word, you're in here hearing the word. Sister April sent an email and saying it's just something about an anointed man of God who's been anointed and appointed to teach the word, how you can get so much out of scripture. That's why this ministry is designed to do that. That's why they're teaching pastors called to teach us the word. So you need to be here as well as studying your Tuesday and all the supplement here and Wednesday. Because you better believe it. There's a 2:30 call happening. There's a diagnosis just around the corner. There's a cousin, an auntie, a big mama, a grandma who's may not be here tomorrow. And if you've done your due diligence of meditating the word day and night, and you are thinking, speaking, and doing as the Lord would have you to do, you are preparing yourself for when trouble strikes. It's not a matter of if. Amen. It's a matter of when. And that's why I get so exercised to concerning pastors who do not prepare the people of God for tragedy, troubles, hard times. I hate the entertainment aspects that are in ministry. I hate it. As if it's some sort of showtime. And when those folks run across that, we're going to have to do a biopsy, we're going to have to do this and that, they're just absolutely freaked out because they have no idea who God really is. God ain't crazy, y'all. And I hope you believe I'm hearing from God. I'm before God all day, every day. We have taught on the God of the Bible like twice in like 4 years. Why? He wants us to know him. If you don't know God, how can you trust God? How can you go to him? Why would you go to him? You don't even know him. I mean, she's a living example for all of us. Stood right here in front of us. And the Lord is in control. What have we taught them for the last month and a half? The sovereignty of God. Every single thing is under his control. That's good news. As I attended Pastor DeJuan's grandmother's funeral, that was basically his mother. She basically raised him. So that was a big, in the natural, earthly, physically, naturally speaking, was a big loss. Not only to him, but to that entire family. When they went to close the casket, there was about 40 people around in the casket. Now, this is not understanding. That's not her. But yet understanding, we who understand that, got to understand, yeah, but people still grieve. And you treat as such. You pray as such. Tragedy happens. Diagnosis happens. Phone calls happen. Friends die. nephews act crazy, do things they ought not to do, they're killed. Things happen. Are we prepared? And if you're in that word daily, meditating day and night, obeying the word, thinking the word, speaking the word, and doing the word daily, you're preparing yourself for what come whatever. Like the Apostle Paul talks about in Philippians 4, whether I got a lot or a little, whether I'm abounding or I'm in poverty, I've learned the secret. Glory be to God. I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one, who strengthens and empowers and enables me. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
We're not up in here playing. I've told you that a whole bunch of times. Come to church with a purpose, not just because it's Sunday. I'm busting up in here because I'm trying to get mine and give him his. I know that's urbanic. It's no word, but that's a word. Not ebonic, but urbanic. My wife said, don't say ghetto, so I got to stop saying that. So that's urbanic. I'm going to get mine. There's a time to be selfish. We taught on that too. It's down in the basement. A time to be selfish. Like, get your word. Elbowing folk out of the way to get up in here. I'm going to sit up in the front row so I can hear everything. I ain't knocking nobody in the back row. Let me quickly say that. Just talking about me. You can hear good back there. But I'm just talking about just the attitude. I'm coming to get this word. Not because it's Sunday. I need it. That's my living bread. I live by it. I must have it so I can live this life on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Having said that, let's get into the lesson today. What is the gospel? I'm excited about that. We're going to take a break from the God of the Bible and leave them here in the Lord. We're going to talk about the gospel. I'm excited about this mini series. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? We need to know what the gospel is. Because after all, that's what we're supposed to be giving to others, is the gospel. Let's talk about what it isn't. To better understand what the gospel is, or what something, in order to better understand something, sometimes having a contrast helps to drive forth the definition of it. Let's talk about what it isn't. The gospel isn't telling folks that if you come to Jesus, you can get meaning for your life. You can get purpose for your life. That is not the gospel. Because there are millions who are wondering, what is the reason that I'm here? What is my purpose? Thank God we know our purpose is to glorify God. But that's not the gospel. The gospel isn't telling folks that they can have peace in their soul. Good. But it's not the gospel. The gospel isn't telling people that God loves them. And in so loving them, he has a wonderful plan for your life. Could be true, but it's not the gospel. The gospel is not telling people that if you come to Jesus, everything is going to be all right. That is not the gospel, and that is probably not going to be true, because when you come to Jesus, and especially your family members, and they don't come to Jesus, now you're dealing with two natures, divine nature in you and the satanic nature in them. That's an automatic setup for war. Things may get worse. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can. That's not the gospel, that you can have all your sins forgiven. All of the above may be true in some way, shape, or form, but they are not the gospel. How about giving of your testimony as powerful And as great as it may be, and we have some great testimonies here about how you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just super fantastic, supernatural. But they are not the gospel. And we need to understand that word of life, that we should not confuse any of the above as being the gospel. The gospel, as one person put it, has specific content within it. You follow that? The gospel is specific. Let that just hang for a moment. And I don't know how connected you all are to these other ministries. The gospel is on a great attack, and is even on a greater attack. It's been on an attack for probably 30 years. And I don't think half of us even know that it was even under attack. That's why I'm wondering, like, you know, when I ran across John MacArthur's book, The Gospel According to Jesus, I'm like, why you gotta write that? Now I see why. I know it's according to Jesus. Yeah, but there were millions who are attacking the gospel. As I understand it, they lost friends over this. Lost a ton of friends over this. The gospel according to Jesus, because they've turned it into something else. But if you understand that the gospel is specific, when I say specific, you know, I love synonyms. It is precise, the content of the gospel, what it is. It's definite, it's unambiguous, it's exclusive, and it's particular, specific. Meaning it is this and only this and nothing but this. Do you hear me? Amen. It is specific. And it's also objective in its content. So it is specific and it is objective. Objective. Just like objective truth. Objective means that it is not influenced by personal feelings. It is not influenced by personal interpretations or prejudice. It is based on facts and it is unbiased. That's the gospel. It is specific in its content and it is objective in its content. Read it again. Did you get all the synonyms for specific, if those of you taking note? Okay. Objective, meaning not influenced by personal feelings, comma, interpretations, or prejudice. It is not influenced by personal feelings, interpretations, or prejudice. Semicolon. Based on facts, semicolon, unbiased. Just like the God to me God, that kind of thing. The gospel to me is no. Absolutely not. In Word of Life, you don't understand, but the gospel is being butchered throughout the world. Butchered. Slaughtered. All these fake substitutes for the gospel. Did you get all those? The gospel, clear and simple, is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Now, if you go back and said the gospel is about Jesus. Now, if you go back and see, it's about Jesus, what he's done. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. When you go back to things like you can get meaning in your life, you can have peace in your life, there's a wonderful plan for your life. You see, that's all about you, meaning in your life, purpose in your life, you. It's not about Jesus, not what he's done. It's about you and what you can get from him. And that Santa Claus, I dream a genie in the bottle type rub and get what you want. That's what we got to get. We got it. And I think here we talked about that for years and years and years up in Word of Life. God is not a cosmic genie. He's not some cosmic Santa Claus that you write a list and check it twice.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Making sure you've been nice and not naughty. He ain't Santa Claus. He ain't coming down no chimney. He's God, who's sovereign. And we understand we can't work our way for him to give us anything.
Amen. Amen.
The gospel, plain and simple, is about Jesus. So let's get into it. What is the gospel? The gospel is a Greek word. The first part is EU, which is EU, AU, and then A, G, G, Agenion. So it's AU, Agenion. AU, and then this word here, we'll get to that, and then the end. This here, you know this prefix. How about this word here? Yeah. Eulogy, or eugenics, or even euthanasia, which means good death. This means good. EU, we say it in our, it's you, like the eulogy. This is good. This means good. Angeo, the word angel, comes from this. The word angel comes from that. And an angel is a messenger. Angel is a messenger who brings a message. Messenger. So this means good. So put them together, it means the good message. A good message. And when an angel brings, he's a messenger, what does he do when he brings the message? He proclaims or he announces. He brings good news. So that together, it's good message, good news, good announcement, good proclamation. That's the gospel. Did that make sense? So in New Testament terms, here's a definition. That's your Greek definition. And now the usage of it in the New Testament. The gospel is a proclamation, the announcement, the good news of the person and work of Jesus. We'll stop there for a moment while you write that down. In the New Testament, the gospel is the proclamation, the proclaiming, the announcing, the declaring of the good news of the person and work of Jesus Christ. You see, that's about him, not about how you can get peace and how you can have joy. There may be results of that, but it's not focusing and centered on the person and the work of that person, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, another, they've added something here. So this one, the addition to this definition, because that's the main thrust of it right there. It is the good news, it's the announcement, it's the proclamation and declaration of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Who he is and what he has done concerning redemption and salvation in particular. But some have added to plus how the benefits of that work can be appropriated to us by faith and by faith alone. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic on the B portion of that definition, but I like that because everything that Christ did for us, that he did rather, was for us. And so the good news is that, hey, what he's done, it can be appropriated to your life, but it's only given through faith and faith alone, not works. You can't work your way into receiving the benefits of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But in a capsule, it is the announcement, the proclamation, the gospel, the good news rather, of the person and work of Jesus Christ. The gospel focuses on Christ Jesus, who he is, what he did, and how we receive his benefits. Who he is, what he did. Who he is, what he did. Now, let's break that down. Let's break all that down. Who he is and what he did. So it's going to focus on some specifics. Let's get into some of the specifics. It's going to focus on the very first thing about who he is his birth. His birth. It was a virgin birth. And we can get into that as to why it had to be a virgin birth. So it was a virgin birth. And then we're going to get into once he was born, what did he have to do? He had to live out this life. So the life then. In other words, his life lived out while on this earth. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the fact that he was born of a virgin's birth, his life, how he lived, the deeds he did, the words he said, and he did all of this without sin. Key understanding. He lived a life without sin as a human being on this earth.
Amen.
So after the life, then comes what?
Death.
The death. The sacrificial death. And if you're writing in that, mean the sacrificial death, the shedding of his innocent blood for the remission of our sins. That's the gospel. Glory be to God. The shedding of his innocent blood for our sins. So you got it. Birth, virgin birth. His life, a life lived without sin. Death, without sin, the shedding of his innocent blood. Because he never did, who did no sin, the word of God says. Who did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth. What comes after death?
Burial.
Well, yeah, the burial. Yeah, the resurrection. Yes. Now, my spelling on this one. R-E-S. I'm going to put triple R's and too many S's and all of it. So R-E-S-U-R, the two R's. Okay. I told you on this word. E-C-T-I-O-N. Hey, we made it through. Resurrection. You know, we don't focus on the resurrection enough. Because if he stays in the ground, Apostle Paul said, and he doesn't rise and for us, then we are of all men most miserable. A gospel that's devoid of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not the gospel. He rose again. The resurrection, the miraculous giving of life to his dead body after 3 days in the grave. Listen to this. Thus confirming his decisive, complete, and final victory over death. Hallelujah. So he is raised from the dead to visually and completely and decisively say, I've conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so the resurrection, which is the miraculous giving of life to his dead body after 3 days in the grave, and thus confirming his decisive, complete, and final victory over death. Then you have his ascension. Another word I get tripped up on, A-S-C.
Yeah. A-S-C. Ascension. I-O-N. I think there's two S's in there.
Yes. His ascension. When he ascends, what does he do? Seated at the right hand, preacher.
Amen.
Seated at the right hand of the Father. And then his subsequent return to rule and reign forever. then let's put on there the second coming. This is the person and work of Jesus Christ. This on this board is the gospel.
Yeah.
That's the gospel. Not how you get a better 3-point shot and get another better A's in your grade and go from A to A pluses. You know, black folk, we something else. Come here. You know, we said, man, you know, man, that girl, man, she, this dude knocked her in the head and then she went from that dude over here and she got 5 kids. Well, what did we used to say? Man, that girl needs Jesus. Mm-hmm. And by quiet, no, you ain't never saying that. Wow, Jamil, you see that? About, ain't nobody saying nothing. Y'all know good and well you done told 10 people that girl needs Jesus. Why do we say that? Because we're looking at, she needs to get her life together. Her life is out of order because she don't have Jesus. Well, in one case, that's the case, but that's not the gospel. That's the point I'm making. So you go with that misinformation or that misunderstanding of the gospel and tell a girl, you need Jesus. All this would be straightened out. That's not the gospel. Do you understand that? Because that declaration of her is not talking about the person and work of Jesus. You're talking about, you're telling her how to get her life straightened out. That's not the gospel. The gospel focuses on Jesus. That's the focus of the gospel. This is the specific content. This is the precise and definite, unambiguous, exclusive, and particular content of the gospel. It must have this in it. Person and work of Jesus. The gospel is the good news that man who cannot save himself can still be saved.
Amen.
That's good news.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Jesus. Because apart from, see, I love all that. I love all that going through the crowd. That means somebody didn't taught you something. Because that ought to rock your boat. Folks that have been talking about money coming to me, they sit there and hear that, be like, yeah, it ain't no Rolls though. Ain't no Benz. Man, when is it going to be over, man? I wonder when the McDonald's stop serving breakfast. Mind your mind is elsewhere. Am I right, fella? If you're not taught, all you want is me, me, me. When you ain't satisfied, your mind goes, you wander. But to hear you, wow, ooh, we great. Over hearing that, wow, we cannot be saved apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's the gospel.
Yes, Lord.
Matter of fact, what I just said, that's the gospel, yes, fella. You don't need no long, and that's what I'm about to show you. We get this thing down in one sentence, Jamil. It's not all this. That was it. You feel me, Chris? That's it. I'm about to explode right through the ceiling, but I got to stay calm. Because there's some questions that have been being answered for me. These are questions that I needed to understand, too, about the presentation of the gospel. Because I wasn't taught properly because soul winning, if you will, was something that, when you come out of an Arminian church where they believe that you can convince somebody to be saved, then the presentation is all messed up, because everything is about convincing that person that you got the power and the ability to convince them to be saved. So your presentation really isn't right. It's not as it should be. You can't convince, you can't save nobody. If you would, we would just go through the craziest cousins. Let me start with the craziest cousins. You would get your red eye tonight and fly to California to your craziest cousin and go get him saved. But you can't save anybody. It's not about how informed you are concerning the gospel presentation. That's what we were sort of taught, that some explicit, but it was implied. And so it took many years for me, even until this teaching right now, to get an understanding of what the presentation looks like. Mm-hmm. And absent from that presentation is a decision. You don't call for any decision. You don't know if God, if they heard you or not. You don't know if that person is even alive spiritually to even understand what you're saying.
Amen. Amen.
It's about just giving it. Girl, boy, apart from Jesus, you can't be saved. That's the gospel. Walk on down the street.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do to save yourself, to erase your sins. But you must admit that you are a sinner. Go to Jesus and recognize you cannot save yourself. There's no works you can do. There's no amount of thing, nothing that you can do to save yourself. The gospel is the good news.
Amen.
That man cannot save himself. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, mother got it?
Yes.
Paul, a bond servant of God, doulos, slave. Look at the identity. We bound over this. Look at the identity. Not Paul, big time apostle, called of God Almighty. Got my apostle pin on my lapels. You know, I didn't have that back in the day, but I got it anyway. Because I'm Paul, I can do that. None of those credentials. First of all, I'm a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does slave mean? It means that you're my owner. I am completely and totally yours. And I have no will or no purpose, rather, no purpose and no right of my own to do whatever I want to do. I'm completely yours. I've been bought by you. I am your property. It's a lot in that. That's who I am, first and foremost, of Christ Jesus. Called as an apostle, secondly, yes, because that master called me, equipped me, appointed me, and anointed me to be the apostle. That's what the master told this slave. This is what I want you to do. You see the order so that you don't get swole. Nowadays, we want to be self-proclaimed bishops, self-proclaimed apostles, prophets. We all want to have titles all in front of us. I just give me a bucket so I can just throw up for 5 straight hours. I hate that. That shows where you are when you're stuck on your title. And you will never wear the title slave, not with all that pride you got. You want a title? Slave.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't care what color you are. I don't care about the history. I didn't choose the word. I told you that. God, through the Holy Spirit, chose this word through the Apostle Paul. We are slaves of Jesus Christ. Called as an apostle. Set apart for the gospel. Uh-oh, you see that? Now, the master to whom I belong said, I want you to be an apostle, and I'm going to set you apart for the gospel. Uh-oh. Look at this here. What's the next word after gospel?
Okay.
Oh, man. We read too fast. Never thought of it. You know what that means? That's God's gospel. This gospel that folks are maiming and butchering and misrepresenting is God's gospel. It's of God, belongs to God, commissioned by God, authored by God. Do you hear me?
Amen.
This is God's gospel, and we better get it right. That's the point I'm making. We better get it right. And here at Word of Life, we're going to get it right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This is God's gospel, authored by God, belonging to God. Never saw that before in my life. I've read Romans 1 probably 100,000 times and never saw of God. My Lord and my God. Sister April Lou Caldwell. When God teaches, when you say the anointed man, God brings things out. That's why we got to be right up here. Never saw of God. I know it's God's gospel, but didn't see it. This belongs to him. You better get it right. Verse 2. Which he promised. Wait a minute. What's the which? The gospel. Praise God. Folks are listening. Thank you, Jesus. Which the gospel he, which is God, promised, look at this, beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Wait a minute. The gospel, the good news, the euangelion concerning the person and work of Jesus, the birth, the life, the death, resurrection, ascension, and coming back the second time. All that was prophesied before by the prophets. There's God speaking through his mouthpieces. The Ezekiels, the Isaiahs, the Jeremiahs, and on back, Moses, Joel, the coming of the good news. So it's safe to say that the gospel then is throughout the entire Bible. Amen. Through all of Scripture is the point I want you to see. So this gospel, he promised beforehand. He promised the gospel beforehand through the prophets. Verse 3. Concerning, what's concerning? Thank you. Would somebody still with me? I want you to catch that. How it's through all three of those verses. Verse 1 sets it up. Set the part for the gospel. Which, what? The gospel he promised. Concerning, what's concerning? The gospel concerning what? Or who in this case? His son. Do you see that? The gospel must be about Jesus. Do you see that in verse 3?
Yes.
Concerning what? The gospel. Concerning who? His son. If it's not about Jesus, Mill, it ain't worth two dead flies. Keep on moving. Because that's not what saves. It's the gospel that has the power that saves. Brother, do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
You're not the savior of people. But you're the proclaimer of the gospel. So when you tell your cousin or your whoever it is in your family, girl, you can't fix yourself. Jesus got to fix you. You just gave him the gospel. You just gave them the gospel. She said, okay. Yeah, that you just gave him the gospel. Because people try to fix it. Well, girl, come on to church. I got to get right first. Wow, really? That's like something I get healed if I go to the hospital. Girl, you bleeding. You need to go to the hospital. Yeah, I'm trying to get it to stop first. Really?
Yeah.
No, you can't fix yourself. That's the gospel. You follow me? Yeah. You can't fix you. You got to admit your sin. I'm a sinner. And I need forgiveness. I can't fix my sin. I can't erase my sin. I can't fix my life.
Yes. Yes.
You tell them that. You sure can, baby. Only Jesus can.
Amen.
You just given him the gospel. Because he died for sin. He shed his blood and he rose again. That's the gospel.
Yes.
Then let the Holy Ghost work with that.
Yeah.
You're not trying to convince them. Hey, y'all, I'm talking to myself right now. Y'all just listen. You're not trying to convince them because I was always taught that. You're not trying to convince them. You're not trying to bring them to a decision. You just give them the gospel. You're simply making an announcement. We erased it. An announcement. You're just announcing or proclaiming the good news. That's all you're doing.
Amen.
Yeah, is this something? I'm happy.
Yeah.
Mister, I've been struggling with this for 40, 30 years. I'm so happy.
Yes, sir.
You're not asking for a decision. You're not trying to convince. You're simply making an announcement. You're simply proclaiming good news. So you tell your nephews and you tell your people, you tell them, hey, you need to realize you can't fix yourself. No such thing as being you're good outweighing your bad. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. Yes. It's not about, oh, if I'm a good, I weigh my bad. Hey, I'm good enough. You're never good enough in your own. Why? Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. And you can tell them that if you don't know how to explain, you can say, because maybe everything you do ain't worth two dead flies in the eyes of God. That's gospel. Amen. Amen. Ain't worth two dead flies. Where say that? Don't worry about it. It's close enough. Am I right, David? It's close enough. Because it's true.
Amen.
I don't care what you try to do to get yourself right. You can't get yourself right apart from Jesus.
Amen.
I'm a happy man today. So it's concerning his son. Then he said, who was born, here we go again, born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Are we in the right place, y'all? Let's look on the board. Who was born, a descendant of David, who was resurrected from the dead. I mean, he had to die. Look at that in there. That's the gospel. Who was declared the Son of God with power, and it was with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our master, our owner. That's what was declared by the prophets in the scriptures. The gospel. He told it to us. And look at verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. They all right back there? Yeah. Get up some water. To all, verse 7, who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the short time that we have left, and this time flew by, let's look at this. This is another seminary term here, theological term, the proto-evangel. Proto means first. The proto-evangel, or the first mention concerning the good news in the Bible. We're about to read it right now. And look where we're going to turn back to. Look at Genesis chapter 3. What? Genesis? You mean the good news is in Genesis?
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 3. The proto-evangel is the first mention of the good news, the good announcement. And again, that means the first mention or the first announcement or the first declaration of the gospel in scripture is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Glory be to God, glory be to God. Now, you know the backdrop. You know that Adam has sinned, Adam and Eve have sinned, and God is now pronouncing judgment on them. And so, look at verse 14, when the Lord God begins to speak, Lord God says to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On the belly you will go, dust will eat all days of life. Verse 15, and I will put enmity and opposition between you and the woman, and between your seed
your seed, which is Satan, and her seed, the seed of the woman. So, now listen to this. He, which is the seed of the woman, talking about Jesus, shall bruise you on the head, or crush your head, and you will bruise him on the heel, meaning the crucifixion. You're going to get him, but you're not going to permanently get him. You're going to be allowed to get the seed of the woman, which is Jesus, but he, that seed, is going to completely destroy you. So that is the first mention of the good news, that eventually Satan is going to be defeated. That's good news. And eventually he was completely in Revelation chapter 21, I believe. Or maybe it's 20. Where he's completely defeated, thrown into the lake of fire, where he will be forever and ever. So this is a mention, the first mention of the gospel, the evangel, the good news. Because Satan will not always trouble and dominate and just jack up the world. There's going to come a Savior, a Redeemer. And this Savior, this Redeemer will ultimately crush Satan. Glory be to God. Satan will not always do what he's doing. He has a time. He has a time limit. And it's going to come to an end. And before he barely got started, God, through Moses, is already pronouncing his end. Do you hear that word of life? He barely got started, and he said, brother, you're going to meet your end. And it's going to come from the seed of the woman. And notice he said of the woman, because the seed is actually in the man. But remember, supernaturally, Luke chapter 1, it tells you how the Holy Spirit placed that seed supernaturally, bypassing the male, personally into the womb of Mary. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, it's the seed of the woman. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. And when that seed is born, it's going to crush your head. Oh, look at this. Erase it through his death. Shed his blood, his death, and then the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Death is done. I showed you, I took on death, I died, and then rose again and let you know that I defeated death. Mm-hmm. Death could not keep me in the grave. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's shouting ground. Y'all sitting there like oil painting, but that's okay, because it's a lot to, you gotta, it's a lot to take in. A lot to take in. Glory be to God. We will finish this next week, Lord will. Father God, I am beyond excited for clarity from your word, not tradition, because that's what had messed me up for years. I thank you. I am so grateful. I'm deeply humbled by the wisdom in scripture that you would stop by this small assembly and teach us such profound truths that churches with thousands in it have no idea. Oh, what grace and mercy you've shown us today. Thank you, Father. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.